Here's your fair value brief for Friday, July 10, 2026. The Fed just added three new inflation wildcards to its watch list: AI, Middle East tensions, and tariffs. And almost all officials are now open to rate hikes, meaning mortgages, credit cards, and savings rates could climb even if the economy slows. Oil's caught in a tug of war between OPEC's output hikes and war fears. Brent crude's holding at $76.17, up 6% this week, but still down 18% from last month's peak. That stubborn $11 conflict surcharge per barrel is keeping pump prices elevated. And AI chip demand is reshaping tech faster than expected. Broadcom just forecast $16 billion in AI revenue, a 200% jump, while ARM's sitting on a $20 billion order backlog. Your devices are about to get a lot smarter, but the stocks behind them are priced for perfection. Now, to the big story, the Fed's new inflation playbook. This week, the Federal Reserve held rates steady, but its latest meeting notes reveal a central bank now laser-focused on three emerging inflation drivers: artificial intelligence, geopolitical conflicts, and trade policies. For the first time, these forces aren't just background noise. They're direct factors shaping everything from your mortgage rate to your grocery bill. So what's changed? Three things. First, AI's short-term cost pressures are outweighing its long-term productivity promises. The Fed's not worried about job losses. They're tracking the $1 trillion global rush for GPUs, data centers, and power. NVIDIA's AI server revenue jumped 265% last quarter. U.S. data centers could double their electricity use by 2030. And Broadcom shares rose 4.7% after projecting $16 billion in AI chip sales, a 200% annual leap. The central bank now calls AI a near-term inflation driver, a complete reversal from 2023, when they assumed it would cut costs. Second, Middle East tensions are stretching far beyond oil. Shipping rates have climbed 30% since April as vessels take longer routes. War risk insurance for Red Sea crossings has quadrupled. And those 100% tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles? They're now baked into the Fed's inflation models. Third, and this is the kicker, almost all Fed officials are now ready to raise rates, even if growth slows. Back in March, 12 out of 18 officials expected cuts. Now, only one does. The odds of a December hike have jumped to 50%. And if you're eyeing a mortgage, this matters. The 30-year fixed rate, currently at 6.8%, could hit 7.2% by year-end, adding about $200 a month to a $300,000 loan. Credit card rates? They might reach 21% APR, the highest since 2001. The Fed's walking a tightrope here. On one side, you've got AI-driven productivity, which should lower prices over time. On the other, AI-driven demand, which is raising prices right now. This is the first tech-fueled inflation paradox we've seen in decades. Chair Kevin Warsh has even dropped the Fed's usual forward guidance, admitting that traditional models just don't work when data center construction in Nevada becomes a macroeconomic factor. So what's next? Three key dates to watch. On July 16th, Warsh heads to Congress, and you can bet AI's inflation role will dominate the questions. Then, on the 29th, we get the Q2 GDP report. If business investment, think AI spending, surges while consumer spending weakens, the Fed's hawkish tone will only get louder. And a quick heads up, if you've been putting off refinancing or locking in an auto loan, the window's narrowing. Those low rates aren't sticking around. Now, here's what's happening today. Markets are weighing AI momentum against geopolitical risks. Stocks closed Thursday's session higher, but the real action was under the surface. The NASDAQ 100 gained 1.6%, and the S&P 500 rose 0.8%. But leadership shifted. Financials and industrials led the way, while semiconductors trailed. This isn't just profit-taking, it's a rotation. Money's moving out of AI momentum plays like NVIDIA, which dipped 0.6% Thursday, and into old economy sectors that stand to benefit from higher rates and infrastructure spending. Oil staying volatile. Brent crude slipped to $76.17 overnight, but the market's still on edge. The Strait of Hormuz has partially reopened, but U.S.-Iran clashes continue, keeping a $5 to $10 conflict surcharge in every barrel. That premium's ensuring gas prices stay high, even if tensions ease temporarily. And bonds are sending caution signals. The 10-year Treasury yield's holding at 4.56%, but the 2-year yield, the one most sensitive to Fed moves, dropped 2 basis points Thursday. The bond market's message? The Fed may pause, but it's not backing down. With $100 billion in Treasury auctions today, we'll see if global investors are still willing to fund U.S. debt at these rates. The takeaway: this isn't a simple risk-on or risk-off market. It's a choose-your-exposure environment. Tech's riding the AI wave, bonds are reflecting the Fed's resolve, and oil's tracking war risks. Volatility isn't taking a summer break. Now, the big picture. Bonds are telling us traders doubt the Fed's pause will last. Treasury yields are sending mixed signals, and the split shows where the smart money's hedging. The 10-year yield, at 4.56%, is unchanged from Thursday, but has risen 40 basis points since June. That's pricing in prolonged higher rates, even as growth cools. Meanwhile, the 2-year yield, tied closely to Fed policy, fell 2 basis points Thursday. That's not a dovish bet. It's a sign that the Fed may hold, but it's not reversing course. For consumers, this means mortgages aren't getting cheaper. The 30-year fixed rate, at 6.8%, shows no signs of retreat. If the 10-year yield stays above 4.5, sub-6% mortgages are likely gone. On the bright side, high-yield savings accounts, around 4.5% APY, stay competitive. But CD rates may peak soon if the Fed holds steady. Oil's got its own drama. Brent crude's trading at $76.17, down 18% from last month's peak, but up 6% this week. Three forces explain the tension. First, OPEC's boosting output again, the fifth straight increase, adding another 188,000 barrels a day for August. Normally, that'd push prices down. But second, the Strait of Hormuz remains a hotspot. Iran's new anti-ship missiles and the U.S. revoking a key oil sanctions waiver keep a $10 to $15 war surcharge per barrel. And third, U.S. inventories are rising, but not enough. Crude stocks grew by 3 million barrels last week, but remain 6% below the 5-year average. Refineries are running at 95.8% capacity, near maximum, to meet summer demand. The hidden cost here? Gasoline futures have climbed 15 cents a gallon this week. Pumps haven't reflected this yet, but expect national averages of $3.75 to $4 a gallon soon. And don't overlook the dollar. The U.S. dollar index is at 100.87, slightly lower but up 3% over the past year. A strong dollar means cheaper imports, which helps consumers, but weaker earnings for multinationals. It also makes life harder for emerging markets like Turkey and Argentina, where local currencies are weakening and dollar-denominated debt is getting harder to repay. Around the world, the Middle East's oil markets are facing a $10 billion gamble. The Strait of Hormuz has partially reopened, but U.S.-Iran strikes continue, leaving oil markets in limbo. Iran's new missiles can now target moving tankers with precision, pushing war risk insurance for Gulf ships up 400% since April. The U.S. revoked a key sanctions waiver Thursday, banning new Iranian oil sales, but China and India keep buying via ghost tankers that disable tracking. OPEC's raising output, but Saudi Arabia and Iraq lack the spare capacity to offset risk premiums. That's why Brent's stuck at 76, not crashing, not surging. The hidden cost? Diesel prices, critical for trucking, rail, and farming, have jumped 42% since the conflict began, raising costs across supply chains. Over in China, the rare earths power struggle is heating up. China just completed the world's largest fusion magnet, a step toward commercial nuclear fusion. But the more immediate move is about rare earths. Energy Fuels, a U.S. company, bought Germany's VAC for $1.9 billion, positioning itself as a non-Chinese magnet supplier. Australia loaned Iluka $1.2 billion to build a rare earths refinery. And former President Trump has revived plans to buy Greenland for its rare earth deposits. Why does this matter? China controls 80% of global rare earth supply. The U.S. and allies are spending billions to reduce this dependency, but full diversification will take 5 to 10 years. Until then, every electric vehicle, wind turbine, and missile system still relies on Beijing. Now let's talk companies. The AI chip rush is creating winners, and some overpromisers. Broadcom's $16 billion AI bet is paying off. The stock climbed 5.66% Thursday after guiding to $16 billion in AI chip revenue, a 200% year-over-year jump. They also extended their Apple partnership through 2031, locking in 20% of their revenue. Broadcom's edge? They're not making flashy GPUs. They're supplying the custom chips that power data centers for Google, Meta, and OpenAI, the behind-the-scenes opportunity. Arm Holdings is facing a different challenge. Too much demand, not enough supply. Arm rose 9.2% Thursday after its CEO revealed demand for its new AGI CPU has hit $20 billion. But supply constraints mean they can only deliver $1 billion worth. That shortfall explains why Arm stock dropped 7% earlier this week. The lesson? AI demand is real, but the supply chain can't keep up. Meta's taking matters into its own hands. They're developing custom AI chips, codenamed Iris, with Broadcom and TSMC. The goal? Cut their $30 billion annual cloud bill. If successful, this could challenge NVIDIA's dominance, but don't expect an impact before 2027. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs is questioning whether AI's payoff is worth the cost. A new report calls the $1 trillion spending on data centers and GPUs, double the 2022 levels, unsustainable, especially when returns are still unclear. This skepticism helps explain why NVIDIA has slipped 0.6% from its June high. Investors are starting to ask, who actually profits from all this spending? And today, we'll find out how much appetite there is for AI chips. South Korea's SK Hynix, the world's second-largest memory chipmaker, debuts on the NYSE under the ticker SKHY, raising $26.5 billion. This is the largest tech IPO since ARM, and its performance will test AI demand. A strong opening lifts semiconductor stocks like Micron, Western Digital, and Intel. A weak debut fuels bubble concerns. From Washington, the Fed's inflation focus is widening. The June FOMC minutes show a central bank no longer fighting the last war. It's preparing for new battles. AI demand is now an official inflation risk. Middle East conflicts threaten supply chains beyond oil. And tariffs, like the 100% tax on Chinese EVs, are acting as direct price drivers. What's next? On July 16th, Fed Chair Kevin Warsh testifies to Congress, where lawmakers will likely grill him on how the Fed plans to measure AI's inflation impact. Then, on the 31st, we get PCE inflation data. If the reading stays above 2.5%, the odds of a September hike could jump to 70%. The key takeaway: the Fed has ruled out 2026 rate cuts. The only question is how much higher rates will go. Here's something worth knowing: the risk premium in oil prices and why gas stays expensive even when crude falls. Oil prices swing on geopolitical risk, but what does that actually mean for drivers? It's all about the risk premium, the extra cost built into oil prices to account for potential disruptions. Think of it as war insurance for traders. In stable times, oil trades at its fundamental price, based on supply, demand, and inventories. But in crisis times, traders add a risk premium, usually $5 to $15 per barrel, to cover potential shocks. Today, Brent crude is at $76.17. Break that down. The fundamental price, with no risk, is around $65. The remaining $11? That's the risk premium, reflecting Strait of Hormuz tensions, Iran sanctions, and Ukraine drone strikes. That $11 premium adds 30 to 50 cents a gallon at the pump, even if crude prices dip. Risk premiums usually fade when conflicts ease, but three factors are keeping this one persistent. First, the Strait of Hormuz is the world's oil choke point. Even a partial closure adds $10 a barrel instantly. Second, OPEC's spare capacity has shrunk. Saudi Arabia's buffer is down to 1.5 million barrels a day, half of what it was in 2020. And third, traders are pricing in worst-case scenarios, like Iran fully blocking the strait or a wider war. That keeps the premium elevated. So what could change it? Watch tanker traffic. If Hormuz transits drop below 10 ships a day, currently around 24, the premium could jump to $15 or $20. An unexpected OPEC cut would have the same effect. On the flip side, a China-brokered ceasefire might cut the premium to $5, but don't count on it. Bottom line, the risk premium is here to stay. Gas prices won't drop as fast as they rose, even if tensions ease temporarily. Here's what to watch this week. Today, we've got two big events. At 8:30 a.m. Eastern, Canada's June employment report drops. Economists expect 11.2 thousand new jobs, down sharply from May's 87.8 thousand. Weak data could prompt a Bank of Canada rate cut, weakening the loonie and giving a boost to U.S. exporters. Also today, SK Hynix makes its NYSE debut. The $26.5 billion IPO, the largest tech offering since ARM, will test AI demand. A strong opening lifts chip stocks. A weak debut fuels bubble concerns. Monday brings $171 billion in treasury bill auctions. Weak demand means higher yields and downward pressure on stocks. Tuesday's the big one. June CPI at 8:30 a.m. Forecasts call for a 0.1% monthly rise and 3.1% year-over-year, down slightly from May. A hotter print, above 3.2, locks in a Fed hike. A cooler number, below 3, could pause the hawkish talk. We also get earnings from JP Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. Focus on credit card delinquencies and loan demand. Both are key signals for consumer health. Wednesday, retail sales at 8:30 a.m. will show if consumers are still spending. The forecast is a 0.3% monthly rise. Strong spending keeps the Fed firm. Weak spending revives rate cut hopes. Earnings from United Airlines and Johnson & Johnson will also draw attention. For United, the question is whether record airfares, up 20% year-over-year, are hurting demand. For J&J, it's all about how GLP, one competition, is affecting pharma and medical devices. Thursday's busy. Initial jobless claims at 8:30 a.m. could signal labor market weakness if they spike above 240,000. Then, at 10 a.m., Fed Chair Warsh's semi-annual testimony to Congress will focus on AI's inflation role and how Middle East tensions complicate policy. Earnings from Netflix and TSMC round out the day. For Netflix, investors want to know if the password sharing crackdown is working and how the ad tier is growing. For TSMC, the question is whether they can meet the $3.77 EPS estimate, up 52% year-over-year, amid soaring AI chip demand. Finally, Friday brings the preliminary July consumer sentiment reading at 10 a.m. A drop below 65 would fuel recession fears. That's it for today. Stay sharp out there.